Hello, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, another short show tonight. We've got Doctor Who, Emergence, and Manifest. So as soon as the ladies get here, we'll get rocking and rolling as always. So what else has been going on? Oh, never mind. I have a co-host. Yay. Good
Hello.
Evening.
Hello. I had it. I thought nobody was there. I was like, thought maybe you weren't there because I heard dead air, and then all of a sudden I heard you go, "Hello, I'm waiting for," or whatever you said. You're waiting for someone. So hello.
I was. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah. No, I meant. I just at first I thought it was dead air, and then I realized you were there. That's why I didn't press one right away because I didn't hear anything at first. Right.
So
Karen should be along.
Yep, I'm sure she'll be here any moment.
Yeah. So, did you watch anything else this week?
No.
No. I hate when I can't find something. I had open an email that told me exactly what to make sure I didn't say, and I lost the dang thing. I closed the window somehow, but I will get there. I was trying to think in the meanwhile if there's anything I can say. That's why I was trying to find it. Here it is. Because I figured I could start if she's going to be while talking about Lock and Key a bit, which I did really like. And my review for that will be going out soon. Have you read the graphic novel or know anything about it?
I have not read it.
Okay. Because it's based on a graphic novel, and I guess it was made a couple times but never actually came about. Like, there was a pilot made for Fox some years ago, and it never happened. But it's now coming to Netflix on the 7th. And it's basically about these families that their father's killed, and that's part of the story. He dies, and they're trying to find out why. And so the mother and three children move into the father's ancestral home, Key House. And through the course of the show, they find different keys, which all have different magical abilities. Let's see, they each have powers. Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't say anything I shouldn't. But anyway, so they find out the different unique things that they can do, and there's, of course, bad people after the keys. But there's some mystery in it, but it's also got some good adventure and some good character stories. It is, I wouldn't say it's young adult. I mean, it's not like a kid show or anything, but it's not, like, super scary or anything. I mean, it's like a, you know, anyone can enjoy it type thing. And the one who plays the one kid, Connor Jessup, from Falling Skies, is in it. So, because that's who I recognize. But anyway, my review for that will be going out soon. Is that Karen? I heard it. It sounded like Karen.
Yeah, hi, I'm
Hello,
here.
Karen.
I'm trying to think.
Hi.
I remember Falling Skies. I'm trying to think which one was Connor.
The middle. I think he was the middle kid. I'm trying to remember.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
older now. But yeah.
One of Noah Wiley's kids on the show, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had interviewed him before for that show.
Right. Remember that.
But anyway, it's really good. I think you guys will like it. I will say the first episode was, not that it was slow, it just took a while to kind of understand what's going on, or to, like, explain what was going on. I don't know. One of those things where I think two episodes would have been, well, I guess there is no pilot per se, is there, because it's on Netflix. So I would say that you get more feel of it, I felt like, after the first one, because it was a little bit different pacing, but... Other than that, all right. So, do we want to start with Doctor Who?
Sure.
Go for it.
I do. I somehow lost.
Go for Doctor
okay,
Who.
There we go. So, let me first ask you, because I didn't get to talk to you last week, and I just would like your quick opinion of what you thought about the week before this one, with all the crazy stuff with the new Doctor and with Jack coming back and all that good stuff. Because it seems to be, like, really, you know, two sides. But some people really like it and some people really hate it. So, because a lot of people are mad they changed the story so much. So.
Well, I mean, so it's nice to see Jack. I mean, it's always, you know, I mean, I had heard or read rumors that Jack would be back. I don't know if he's back or if he just had an appearance.
Really?
It seems like he has to come. It seems like that story is unresolved and we will see more of Jack.
Well,
I
would assume after that at some point. Yeah.
I would assume we're going to see him again based on the way they left it. And so I enjoy seeing Jack. I didn't so much love the introduction of another doctor. I mean, partly because, I don't know, I feel so much like I'm still getting to know this doctor. I'm still getting to know, like, Jodie Whittaker's doctor, the 13th doctor. And to, like, throw this other thing in there and, like, who is she? Where'd she come from? She appears to be the doctor's past. And I feel like, I'm not sure how I feel about her being female. Like, that we have our first female doctor, and is she undercut because she's not the first female doctor? There previously was a female doctor.
Kind of,
like,
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah.
Right?
It's just so revisionist of what we know
and are trying to figure out. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to say the one thing people do need to know, I had read this, is that Jodie is coming back for at least one more season. So I'm guessing that this plot line does not, at least that's my guess, is I think that this plot line doesn't necessarily mean she's going to be like a full-time doctor, even like after Jodie. I'm guessing it's more just like a plot line. But,
I know.
I didn't think about the female thing you said. But see, my thing is I don't mind them totally changing the history as long as they can make it make sense. Because it's funny, I feel like when you watch the show, and we're just talking about New Who, not even talking about all the stuff they changed from the original classic, but even if you go by, like, New Who, there's, like, certain, you know, rules and things that were made by Russell T. Davies and certain things that were made by Moffat. But the thing is, like, I don't know, I feel like they made big moves, they did big things to change the mythology, and as much as it's like, oh, we've had this for so long, Chibnall is a showrunner in his own right. I feel like he has just as much a right to create mythology as the other two did. I mean, you know, we've had big things happen before. And I'm not saying that they should necessarily mess with all the history, and I don't know how it makes sense. I'm just saying that I don't mind that he changes things, as long as it makes sense in the end. That's my one piece.
What you just said is fair on its surface. But I feel like Chibnall, he is working so hard to upend everything and change everything. And I'm getting a little sick of being hammered with the doctor's environmental message. And it's something I really believe in. Like, I do believe that we're destroying the climate of this planet. And the doctor is like, we had another message this week about, like, I just feel like Chibnall is... I know. But I just feel like we have the master back. We have a new doctor. We have Jack. We have a female you know, we have so much that, I think maybe Moffat and Earned, like, his changes were incremental over a longer showrunnership period that he had. And it wasn't necessary every single week to be changing the doctor's
history. I don't think it should be every
history.
Week. I just wonder, and it hasn't been every week, but yeah, it's been a lot this season. But I almost kind of wonder, though, if he's doing it to shock people, because last season there was, like, pretty much no old monsters except for the Daleks at the New Year's one. And now he's brought back other characters, same with the Jadoon and all that. I almost feel like he's trying to, I don't want to say cause a stir, but, like, say, you didn't really like last season. Everybody, you know, complained that I didn't do enough, so here's me doing a lot, you know. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but I kind of get that feeling a little bit. But anyway, we can go on to this week. I just was kind of curious how you felt about that, because I like craziness, but I always like craziness. And I kind of liked her, too, because she was like a bitch, kind of. That's why I kind of liked her, too, I think. She reminded me more of the 12th Doctor.
Oh,
but anyway.
She was the least nice doctor we've ever seen, and she was a violent doctor. I mean, the doctor has killed a lot of people, but we've never seen the doctor, like,
we haven't actually
have a rifle. stashed and kill quite so many people in one episode.
That's true. All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, onto this episode. I agree with what you said. I mean, I got to say, I do appreciate that they didn't have the doctor giving a speech about how we're killing our planet. At least they didn't do that again. But, yeah, I feel like they're hitting us over the head too much with this Save Our Planet. And, you know, I like when there's, you know, we've talked before about how they touch on social issues and all that. And I have no problem with that. That's good. And there can be messages to do it. So often and so much, it's like we're not watching an educational show. You know, I don't need to be hit over the head with it every episode. So that kind of did annoy me. The other problem I
could
have
even,
is, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I could even take it every episode if it was a little more subtle, but it's like a speech
or
every week.
The same thing. We just had an environment there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the one part that I thought is, I didn't really like this. I mean, I liked the episode, but compared to the other ones, not all that much compared to these last two seasons. I found the story to be very convoluted. Like, there were so many things going on, and there had to be a lot of explanation to explain, you know, how, you know, it's going in the birds, and then we have plastic in us, and I don't know, it just seemed like there was so much, like, science part of it. I don't know. And I know that I've been saying, oh, well, like the you know, the companions are kind of, you know, being independent and all that. But I really, it's all like, I like it, but not so much. And I'm at the point where it's been every episode. I was like annoyed they were split up again. Cause it's like, we don't get to see really any time of them with the doctor. And what also annoys me is if they are going to be independent, at least have Graham do something else. Graham like always hangs on somebody else and doesn't really do as much. I don't know if that's because his character's older, if there's a reason, or maybe that's just the way it's been written. But I don't know. I this time it just kind of really annoyed me that they were all separate and it took forever for them all to get back together. And I feel like as much was going on in this story, it really didn't need to even happen on three continents. And the fact that they brought in so many more people when we already have three companions, it was just too much. I don't know.
Yeah, so I felt while I was watching it that there was also that there was too much going on and I was getting almost a little bored with it. Like, so we have the doctor and three companions, and then we had this space astronaut guy and his husband was in it. And so that's already six humans on like the good guy side. And then, you know, we have the scientist woman who turned out to be bad. We just had so many people and characters and stuff going on. The science was like messy and convoluted this week with this bit with the plastics and the like, and it was so driven towards this to give the doctor the opportunity to make a speech at the end that where she says like, you're destroying your planet with plastic. And there's like a giant, again, I appreciate that this doctor, the doctor's always had messaging for us, whether it was about like, relationships and gender has been a big thing with previous doctors, but the doctor's world is kind of genderless, or like the doctor's very like, who cares if people are like, whatever, right? If you're married to a woman or a man, whatever. And the doctor has always had a message that Earth has a little ways to go to evolve in that direction. We're getting more environmental messages, but I could have, like, I understood that message clearly without the doctor having to give a big speech at the end, right?
Yeah, like, she didn't give a speech, though, quite like she did in the other episode, at least. Like,
she kind of gave a speech. She's like, you people are putting so much plastic, it's all in your bodies, and, you know. She didn't say like she did 2 weeks ago where she said, pretty much your planet, this is your dead planet in the future.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I think three companions are too many. I think... they don't have enough to do. And the reason they're splitting them up and sending them on side missions is because you can't have three companions be with the doctor because there's not enough for everyone to do. And in the end, it's the doctor who has to solve it. Right.
Like, yeah.
I mean, maybe
no,
not
like,
always, but mostly
them either.
Yeah. The doctor hasn't really bonded. In fact, that's part of the storyline that they don't know anything about the doctor. The doctor doesn't love them. I feel the way every other doctor has truly loved the companion, or we're not seeing that type of really close best friend, you know, like they say we're a family. They repeatedly say we're a family week after week, but I don't see it. I see it maybe between the three humans, but
right. But
yeah, I think there's not enough for them to do, and that's why one always has a side mission.
Right, and I mean before, like we've had multiple companions, but not for like long periods of time. I don't want to say it because that's not true because we had Amy and Rory. But, I mean, we had, like, Rose and Mickey, but Rose was really still in love with the doctor. We had Rory and Amy together, but – and they were in love with each other, but at the same time, he was still Amy's best friend, the doctor. Like, she was still super close
and
to
then,
him, and she was alone
then,
with
like,
him for a while, too.
And then, like, occasionally – was that Rory's father that would be along once in a while, or, like, Rose's mother would be along once in a while? But it would be, like, only one episode where the whole three of them were there. Yeah.
Right. And like I said, Amy got to know him before Rory came along, too.
Before Rory came along,
yeah. It made a difference because we kind of felt that bonding. So
I think Chibnall is doing too much. We have too many companions that are trying to hit too many messages. They're trying to hit too many ages. And, like, you know, I mean, they're so diverse, the three companions. There's a woman. There's a... an older
which
man.
Which I think they're
there's
trying
a,
to say something with, but
one
it's
is black,
kind of
one is white,
things.
One is South Asian, one is, you know, has a medical condition. And it's interesting, but combine that with, like, weekly environmental messages and, like, and retroactively adding adding another doctor that we've never seen before is huge, and I'm not against it, but it
has to work. Well, here's my thing about that. They had a huge retcon in the show in the fact that they added more regenerations, but they had to do that.
Yeah.
So
yes.
The way that I look at it is if she was this other doctor, it had to have happened sometime between, like, her getting more regenerations, or otherwise it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So it did sort of, I mean, I think I'm quoting last week and not this week, when the doctor says, time is swirling around me. And because not only did we see a new doctor 2 weeks ago, but there was another Time Lord, the bounty hunter, whatever she was, Time Lord.
Well, I think she
you
was,
know.
Well, you know what? I thought at first she was supposed to be from the time bubble or whatever of Gallifrey. But you know what? They didn't even know Gallifrey was ever destroyed the first time. I kind of almost wonder if it's like an alternate timeline or something, which I could be okay with, because then
it
really has a bearing per se on our story in a way. So I don't know.
I mean, whatever it is, it's huge stuff, but when the doctor said time is swirling around me, like, I'm starting to see that there's an arc, right? We have only, like, two more episodes before the finale, I think.
Yeah, there's a two-part
and,
finale,
and
I
we're
think.
Moving towards something big, because we've met three, in addition to the doctor, we've met three Time Lords, right? We've met the Master as a Time Lord, the previously unknown Doctor as a Time Lord, and that woman... the captain of the Jadoon is a Time Lord. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
This was not the best episode ever of Doctor Who.
And obviously
it was not
we've been talking about both
good...
episodes, but this week I didn't really like all that much.
This week's was not particularly a great episode.
At rewatch on it, when I watched it live, I fell asleep.
So,
I mean, I watched it when I watched the screener, but usually I watch it a second time at night. That didn't work out well.
It was a little.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I just want to mention something.
I was going to say, it also is always difficult, though, to have an episode that has huge reveals, and then the next one is a monster of the week, and it doesn't mention anything about what happened last week. And that happens on Doctor Who and a lot of other shows also, and it's always a little frustrating to, like, have that sort of huge thing and then Monster of the Week.
They don't always want that continuity. Yeah, we've talked about that before, I know.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I was trying to, you know, when I go back to watch these things, I like to try to figure out, like, where the clues were that told you something was happening. And I had said, like, with the Master, I never really saw and really noticed anything till he said, other than he said, you know, you need to look for the Puppet Master or whatever it was he said. But I really, on second viewing of last week's, there's a really big clue that I totally missed that, like, when you see it, if you go back, you're like, oh, yeah. And I don't know, I didn't hear any, I really haven't been reading people's stuff, but I really didn't hear anybody mention it. I noticed that if you listen to one conversation that Gallifreyan has with her keeper, whatever you want to call it, that he was her husband,
mm-hmm.
She said something like, you were a really good companion. And I'm like,
okay,
that was a humongous clue and should have seen it. And obviously there were other things like the whatever it's called, the Archon energy or whatever, when she broke the glass. And if you think about it, and we haven't seen the other episode for a long time, but I'm assuming that the glass was the what's it called, the arch. I lost my train of thought. But the thing like the pocket watch, the chameleon watch, which they didn't really get into. But those were those kind of things. That were in there, but when I saw that with the her mentioning companion back then, I'm like, oh, that was a huge clue.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I think I had forgotten.
Interesting. I didn't catch that either. Yeah.
No, I only saw it the second time. I never noticed it the first one, but anyway. Okay. Well,
anyway, so
I guess that's about it for that episode. We might as well move on to Emergence, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I just watched Emergent. I just watched it yesterday. It was on last week, right? I just watched it yesterday, so it's fresh in my mind. And AJ will join us for this.
Yeah. So that was the season, potentially series finale. You know, I liked a lot of things about this, but I had some problems with it. Like, I feel like the end was too sappy, neatly wrapped up until obviously they put the little cliffhanger on the end of that. But my main concern was the whole thing, like, oh, we're just going to put her chip in whatever her face, I can't think of her name, but the other woman,
Helen,
and then suddenly she'll be her, which made absolutely no sense to me because that was too just dumb. And also, that was a chip that was from before. It's my understanding that if she used an older computer chip, that she would have had an older version of the software and also been missing new memories, but somehow that didn't happen. So that was my main complaint with the episode. Is AJ there? Hello? I think maybe he forgot what he's doing.
He may be away for a second.
I'm here. Just to unmute.
Okay,
oh.
Did you hear what
I said?
Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, well, I haven't talked to you. I know you guys talked about it probably a week ago when I was away.
So we haven't talked about it yet.
So, I have similar issues to Jamie. I mean, I'm kind of glad the way they wrapped it up. I'm glad Helen is gone because I was beginning to feel like, Helen, when you have an insurmountable villain, like a supervillain that there's no way to kill her, that becomes boring. So I was hoping that she wasn't going to last and they would find a way to get rid of her, and they did. So I'm glad about that. And I think we'll all be glad they got rid of Benny. Benny got redeemed and got a good death or whatever, but I'm glad Benny's gone because he was boring and, dumb. I have some issues similar to Jamie's with, the science, like the whole bit where with the upgrade, suddenly Helen could turn into nanobots. What? Like, how is it even possible? This is like a biosynthetic robot, human, more like a, she's like, when Piper was checked out by the doctors, they can't even tell that she's not human, right? And now suddenly Helen's able to turn into nanobots, and now Piper is able to turn into nanobots. Like, what? Like, that makes no sense. And also, I agree, Jamie, what were you saying about the end, that it was too tightly?
That it was too, like...
Oh, that it was an old chip.
Like,
it was an old chip, and I agree. I thought the same thing. Like, why is that not an old version? And why does she have how could she have memories that Piper
maybe
made after that chip? Yeah, maybe she's a cloud. Yeah. So one thing we didn't talk about, I'd just like to bring up that we've been talking about Brooks and Joe and will they or won't they, and I had felt like he was brought in as a love interest, and then he was definitely brought into the love interest, and then as quickly as it happened, it seems to have gone away. He appears to maybe, he could leave and we wouldn't see, he appears to be wrapped up, and yet he could come back,
yeah,
but he definitely backed off. He definitely was like, Joe, you're clearly in love with your ex.
Yeah.
So anyway, there were, like, that to me was a little interesting. AJ, what did you think?
I think we are about to set a record or something that's never happened on this show before where we're all in agreement.
True.
You guys already said. when Alex says one more crazy thing won't matter, I said out loud, I was like, it kind of does. And prior to that, after all that, one punch knocks Helen out. Like everything they've done with her and everything, and a punch knocks her unconscious to the point where she's. And that was a good 5 minutes that they had the conversation and everything before they.
Well, she had the wristband on her too, which like subdued her powers, I guess. But
one punch. Come on, the one punch bothered me. Kind of obvious that the DOD is going to be next season's big bad. For me, hold on a second, Karen. I actually wish, I mean, it's obvious that DOD is the big bad next season. Or I already didn't trust them. They didn't need to give us that little bit at the end where they're like, Helen is now, or Piper is now Helen, and she has the nanobots, and let's see if we can wake her up. We're going to do a test. I didn't even think we needed that part. Obviously, the network did that to set it up for next season for people who didn't realize that DOD is bad. Part of me wanted the season to end with the conversation between Joe and Alex. I thought that moment right there, I thought was great. I thought that conversation between the two of them, I mean, we've been seeing it all season. And she's like, don't go. And he's like, is it because you love me and you want me to stay? He's like, I'm cool with that. If not, you need to just let me go then, He's like, make a decision.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't have an answer, we've said it all along that she kind of says it too, they've done a great job co-parenting and they figured out how to, live cohesively with each other without being together. But there's always been that, will they, won't they get back together thing. And I think it's just, the acting has been great with it and everything. And I would have been happy if that was our cliffhanger going into season two and not, go to the kooky stuff for the DOD. And I'm sorry, the boss of the DOD, he's a little over the top.
I
don't know what their plan with him is, but.
I do, Jamie, you're correct, it's DOJ. I mean, AJ's spot on with that guy is so over the top, he's practically twirling his mustache, and he, like, the way he spoke to Ed when he came to the house to issue the search warrant, like, this is not a guy who's in any way undercover or trying to, like, be part of a vast conspiracy. He's so telegraphing. He is a little bit like, what's his name on Manifest, who is, like, so telegraphing, like, I've turned bad now, right? The ex-boyfriend, Carlos?
Jared, we'll talk about him later.
But I agree with you that guy is way over the top, like almost to be a cartoon. And I kind of agree, Jamie might also, that like that would have been a great ending to just stop right there with Joe. The three of us have agreed. God bless you, Jamie. The three of us have agreed last season that the family drama maybe is the best part of the show, and it was great that they took it to that point, right?
Yeah,
also, can I give a shout out? Can we give a shout out to Officer Chris, who, when Joe was like telling Chris what to do, he's like, listen, when you're not here, I have to do what I got to do, and I'm telling you this is what I did. And I was like, yay, Chris, standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Chris has a great moment every week.
Yeah. I mean, Jamie, how did you like that Joe and Alex moment?
Well, I like the scenes between them. I think they're very good and they're acted very well. But I like her better with the other guy. I don't know. I don't really like the two of them together. I kind of was like, oh good, he's leaving. So I don't know. But or at least having the triangle, so there's something between them. But if he leaves, it's kind of like, I don't know. None of that's gonna be there. I don't know.
I don't,
for whatever reason,
them
I just don't
together.
Feel as much. I don't per se dislike them. I just feel more chemistry between her and the other guy than I do between her and her husband. I don't know. That's just my own perspective. Yeah, I think they're in love or anything. I just mean that I can see here with him too. Like at least with the love triangle, it makes it interesting. Like if they have him leave or have the other guy leave, then that part of the story isn't going to be there either way. So.
I
I disagree with you a little bit. Sorry, go ahead, AJ. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is one of the few times where I actually, you know, we've seen love triangles on TV shows all the time. This is one of the very few times I actually see chemistry between both options. I think she has great chemistry with Alex, and I think she has great chemistry with Agent Brooks.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's kind of what I mean. Like, I don't mind all three of them. It's not that I dislike him. I
maybe they'll have a threesome.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, that works too.
I wasn't expecting that from Karen.
Yeah, I know.
I don't dislike Brooks, and I don't dislike her with Brooks, except that I would prefer her to be with Alex. And so I dislike Brooks in that he's a threat to Alex and Joe, because I just think they have a little bit better chemistry, and they're clearly still in love with each other. I'd like to know why they got divorced.
They are,
really.
I just don't, for whatever reason, don't see as much chemistry.
Like, I don't understand why they got divorced. They seem to be like a great family.
Well,
I'd like to know more about
before.
That.
I think.
Tell us.
I think it's the age old. I think Joe, when she was pursuing her career, probably got to be too much for Alex with her going out
be.
On it, which is funny because this is probably the craziest her career has ever been. But I have a feeling it was that type of thing. I know a lot of cops, and I know a lot of people that are married to cops, and you know, it's stressful, you know, for the person that isn't on the force, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's probably something very simple like that.
Yeah.
So this show is not renewed yet, right? And we don't know if it will be renewed.
Which, ironically, funny story, or not funny story, but it's either us. Either we don't know which shows are better, or because we like the better shows, the not better shows get renewed and our shows get canceled, or something along those lines. Because Evil has already been renewed for a season 2.
Ugh, I don't like Evil.
I think it gets high ratings, though, doesn't it? I never finished watching
it. It does.
Either,
it does get good ratings, and I don't know why. I don't really like it.
Well, it's also on a different network, too, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
because
they start at the same time, and we like the one and not the other.
I think if it got another season, I think it would be interesting to see how, AJ, you talk about how possibly when Joe was, like, you know, becoming a chief and it was hard on Alex and all that kind of thing. We've talked a lot this season about how Joe's only able to like, pursue this with Piper and do what she does because Alex is always, always, always there to back her up. And so what's it going to be like for her next season when Alex moves to D.C. and is not there to, like, watch the kids every 2 minutes while she's, like, you know, doing her thing? And presumably Maya will spend part of her time visiting her father. And so will Maya be around less, and what that means for Joe and Piper?
I assume she's living with Joe the way they said it. And she would just go visit him because I forget where he said, but it's like across the United States, so it isn't going to be very often.
No, it's in D.C.
Well,
it's in D.C., so it's not that far.
D.C.
But it's still like 200 miles.
I can't remember.
With TV shows, lots of TV shows do this where people separate at the end of a season, and then the following season, oh, look, there's a reason for everybody to be back again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we don't know that she doesn't turn around to him and say, yeah, I do love you. I mean, technically, she could do that later. She could say,
I would like to see it get renewed. I think it's a good show. Is it the best show on TV? No. Is it? It's by far, I think, the best of these, like, high concept shows that we've seen, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in like the last 4 years, I mean, on network, I'm not counting like things like The Expanse that are not on network, but on network TV, it's the best one that's come along in probably like 6 years.
Yeah.
I think.
No,
because there have been some really bad things out there. And it didn't get ruined. Like, there were shows that started out good and got ruined halfway through. And this show, I think, really
it kept putting in new things. They'd explain certain things. It was like, well, now there's nothing left to do, and then they do something completely different. So,
yeah, yeah. I hope it really gets. I hope it gets renewed. It was a good season.
I do too.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Anything else about it? I think we wrapped it up pretty well. I mean, we
I think we did
go into great detail, but all right.
I'll just say one more thing about the show, because hopefully the network's listening to us and they go, oh, we got to renew this show because AJ, Jamie, and Karen said to do it.
yes.
Even if, you know, the storyline, you know, take the storyline out of the equation, that, you know, first of all, we all had issues with this episode, but we still liked it, you know?
Yeah.
And not for nothing, the storyline could be crap because the acting on the show alone is
some of the best.
As an ensemble cast that I've seen in a long time. Like, those shows were like, oh, this person and this person are really good. The rest of the cast is awful. This is an ensemble cast that I don't have a complaint about any of them.
Including the two kids. To have two kids
absolutely.
Who are good on a show is hard to find, really.
Right.
And Benny was very convincing as boring. So
yeah.
There's acting jobs.
I mean, he's a robot.
Anyway. All right.
All right, well, hear us, network, and renew.
Yep. Renew the show.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. You got anything
well,
else, Jamie? You're not watching Manifest, right?
No, I guess still got to catch up.
All right.
But like I said, I finished all of Lock and Key, really liked it. And also...
yeah, I want to watch that.
I watched... Even though before I didn't want to watch it, it was voiced over, I still did. I'm starting to watch The Dark on Netflix, and I'm really liking that. I just usually get annoyed by dubbed shows because usually the voice cast is like crappy when they, you know, when they put it over and I'm reading subtitles. But it's pretty good. I noticed the captions don't always match. I think when they do the actual audio, they're more trying to match up their lip movements. At least it looks like it does. It's not quite so annoying, but it's a good voice cast, and I'm really liking the show a lot. I know so many people had said good things about it, so I thought I would do that and try it.
I am watching, before we jump into this, I'm watching The Good Place,
which
it just ended this week, but I just started watching it last week. So
you
I
like it?
To go. I do like it. You know, it's about Kristen Bell dies and goes to The Good Place.
Right.
But she was a bad person and doesn't belong in The Good Place and doesn't want anybody to know about it. And it goes from there. So I like it. It's good.
Cool.
Okay. So,
well,
all right.
All right. I'm going to cut off. I will just say for people to stay tuned because I have something cool coming up that I can't quite yet talk about. But so people need to check that out and watch the Twitter feed. All right. Well, have a good night, guys.
That's tantalizing. All right. Talk to you next week, Jamie.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. Manifest.
Before we get into Manifest, I got to tell you a funny story that I think you'll appreciate. So, I had recommended a bunch of shows for Artie to watch that I thought he'd like, and he just got done watching Dollhouse.
Ooh.
And he said to me, he goes, why do they keep canceling shows when they get really good? And then when we watched Firefly, I told him what happened with Firefly and, you know, what happened with Weed and Fox and everything. And he says, when we started watching The Dollhouse, I told him it was another Josh Whedon show. And he says to me, do they not like, does Fox not like Josh Whedon or something? Like, why do they keep canceling his good shows?
Yeah. Yeah, because Buffy was on WB. Buffy was on a different network.
Yeah.
So Fox didn't have the chance to cancel it. Yeah, Artie's like getting to, it must be really fun to like rewatch these shows with him, or even if you don't rewatch the whole thing, to like, you know, see him experience it. Must be pretty cool. The closest you can get to like having that, you know, you'll never get to like love that show like you did the first time you watched it, but you get a chance to like see it through him. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he started Continuum tonight.
Oh my god! Wow, I'm so jealous that Artie gets to watch Continuum for the first time.
Yeah.
Wow.
After he watched the first episode, he came out after the first episode, and he's like, "I'm already hooked."
Oh my god, you're ruining this kid. He's not gonna be able to watch anything. He's gonna be like just talking
and
to you,
and
you
goes,
and me and Jamie about two shows that we don't hate.
And he goes, and that tall black guy's in it. I was like, Roger Cross. I was like, yeah, he's in everything. I'm 5'5".
Yeah, he is. He's in everything. I mean, the guy from Dark Matter and the X-Files and everything else you ever watched, yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
So anyway, on to Manifest.
On to Manifest. This was episode 5, so we're almost halfway through the season. I would say the best thing about this episode was that Sandy wasn't in it because she's one of my more, she's one of the dumber characters on the show lately, and after her performance and what she's done and the disaster she's created, she deserved to not be on for at least a week. I mean, it was really Mick-centric. The show really feels like it's becoming... While last year it felt like Ben was kind of like the star, I mean, I know they're the two stars. The brother and sister are the stars, but Michaela's story is really taking, like, she's got the more urgent storyline, right, than Ben does right now, I think. The Olive Ben-Grace story just doesn't have the immediate, like, danger that Michaela's story feels like it has, I guess. This was not the greatest episode. This stuff with the... As they move away from the Passenger of the Week into a more convoluted, like, mythology-type storyline or, like, an overarching serialized storyline, I feel like it's maybe not – these are not as successful as the Passenger of the Week stories. I don't know what you think about that.
I feel like this episode is the start of going full throttle through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
These organized attacks by the Xers in this episode was very aggressive and not something we've seen before. You know, as we know that the professor is the ringleader of the Xers,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And I Jared drives me nuts. But
Jared, that's me.
I really hope, and I've gotta believe, that he's either A, undercover, or B, going undercover on his own. Like, he's taking it upon himself to do this, and nobody is aware that he's doing it. Because, I'm sorry, if they're going to give me a storyline where Michaela broke his heart so bad that he has just thrown his career away because of Michaela turning him down, and he's joining up with the Xers. Like, I mean, unless it's intentional, unless because they know we already hate him, they want us to make sure that we hate him. Because if he's not undercover, he's going down the unredeemable path. You know, is he a jerk? Absolutely. Is he a bad guy? I don't think so. I haven't seen that of him. You know what I mean? When put
that's
him
really
on the show, he's always done the right thing.
I hadn't considered that he might be undercover. I thought he just was a jerk and a bad man, like a bad human being. It's an interesting theory. It kind of makes sense, especially because there was a moment this week where Michaela talks about the attack on the church. And, she talks about how her brother – I know that's a truck because it hit my sister-in-law and – you know, Jared's like, what? Are they okay? And Michaela says the baby might not be okay. They're still checking it. And Jared, like, there was a moment where Jared was genuinely concerned about their well-being, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Jared is not necessarily an 8-to-8 hater. He's a Michaela hater right now, right? Michaela broke his
right,
heart.
Exactly.
He's seen the callings. He believed in the callings until, like, you know, recently, until he became psycho-jealous of Zeke. He supported Michaela
and believed in this stuff. So for him to become an Xer and hate all 828 passengers, you're right, it doesn't make sense. But for him to be undercover does make sense, although he's taking his undercover very seriously by sleeping with this bartender, but he needs to get close to her brother, right? Like, her brother's a ringleader. It makes a lot of sense, AJ. Good theory. And it would...
I just hope I'm right.
...allow him to be... Yeah. I can tell you one thing I did like was, so the way Mikhail is being marginalized by the police, I think the way they're playing this, that because she outed her another cop, because she went against another
right.
cop on the stand, now she's being frozen out by the rest of the precinct, I think was a good turn in the storyline. And while it might not be being handled with as much finesse that another these aren't like necessarily Emmy Award winning writing on this show right now.
Right.
And it could be a little more finessed and less spoon fed to us, but I like it. I like that they're doing that. I think it's realistic. I mean, I don't know. I've never been a cop, but that's what happens on cop shows, and that's what they say about cops, right? It seems to me realistic that she would be frozen out like this. And I like that her captain's always like, really? You got another confidential source? you're in the right place at the right time again.
Yeah. You know what was interesting was the guy that they brought in for questioning. I like the fact that for once, Mikayla actually was onto him just by good old-fashioned police deduction and not a calling. He's in on it because he totally, how did he know it was a church? And he got really defensive about it, But the captain is right, The captain is giving her some rope, but she is right. She's like, you still need to give me proof, We can't just...
Yeah.
Go on hunches. You need to remember that. So I like the captain.
I like her, yeah. All of that storyline, makes sense to me. Zeke going through recovery didn't really, wasn't really that compelling to me until they pull this huge, like what the hell moment on us at the end, right? Like,
so
I assumed that woman was his
wife.
Yeah, I assumed it was some woman he just did drugs with, right? And she was a fellow addict or whatever.
I didn't think it was a wife.
Yeah. That seems to be a huge omission that he maybe should have told Mikayla. I mean, I realize they've only we've only seen them have sex twice, right? So they're not
in the same
having some big relationship. And yet it's being played that they have this insurmountable attraction. Like they are meant, it's being played they're
right.
meant to be together, right? And it turns out he's got a wife.
Well,
unless
next week he goes ex-wife. But if they are still legally married, I think I'm surprised that, if they are still legally married, I'm surprised it's not something he took care of sooner as opposed to just gallivanting around the town. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how that was going to play out. We're going to have to wait until next week for that.
And if he's still legally married, I'm surprised that Jared didn't come up with it while he was studying every single thing about Zeke, who he hates so much.
Hell,
why did Jared not turn
that? That's interesting. Even if they're not, even if they're divorced, I'm surprised Jared didn't find that.
Yeah, right. Because Jared was
found
looking
every
for
other
anything on
thing
him.
About him.
Yeah.
He found everything else about him.
Yeah, and didn't find out that he was married? That seems to, not really make sense, but...
Yeah, that's some bad story writing right there. They just wanted to give us the shock value.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some bad writing.
It was bad, yeah. It is bad, right? Jared would know that. Jared, studied this guy, yeah.
So on the other side of things...
Yes. Olive, the Olive side of things?
I just want to punch the shit out of Ben. Maybe smack Grace around a little bit. Why didn't Olive want to tell them about it? Because they reacted, I think, even worse than she realized. I mean, that was awful.
It was horrible.
The way they reacted. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know what, Ben? I mean, personally, I don't trust the believers either. I feel like we're missing something there, that something's going to drop with them. I don't trust them either. However, for Ben to react that way, the way they did, I mean, Grace was a little more subdued. But you know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion, you know? For them to, and I mean, how old is Olive now? 17? 16,
maybe,
17?
Maybe,
I mean, come on.
60, yeah. Well, and here, AJ, you're raising teenagers.
Yeah.
You're on your second teenager. Is this the way to get them to drop out of an organization, right? I'm pretty sure. No, and you have a teenage daughter. You have a teenage daughter, or she's not a teenager anymore, maybe, but.
No,
right?
She's
is
still
that,
teenage.
That
she's 17.
Okay, and what kind of reaction would you get from that? Some screaming and slamming of doors and straight back to the believers, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was just awful. And then for Ben to go off and attack, I forget the leader of the church's name.
His name is like Jesse or Jamie
Aiden.
Or.
Aiden.
The Jamaican guy.
Yeah, Aiden. I think
Aiden,
it is
it?
Like that, isn't it? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
And he did it in a. I mean, talk about sneaky. He did it in a way that it looked like he was getting attacked by an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just.
But then he revealed himself. Then he revealed himself. Like, you sneak in and in like a.
Mean,
I mean,
yeah,
you want to scare him. I'm sorry.
Himself.
Are you be scared of Ben? Who'd be scared of Ben? Right? Like, I mean, it's not like he's sort of like really menacing. I would never, like, he certainly doesn't think Ben's ever going to kill him. Like, I can't believe Ben even, like, did that. That's so out of character for, maybe that's the worst part of it, is that it's really out of character for Ben to act that way. That's not Ben's MO. He's not a physical guy. He's not a, right? I could see him hiring someone to do that. Coming in broad daylight to threaten him. But that's not Ben. It made no sense.
I know he, and I get it. You know, he's worried about his daughter. But that's just not the way to handle it at all. I mean, that is just, that was bad.
No, you know how we should have handled it?
All the way.
Do you remember, like, the worst parents of all time? Do you remember on The Americans when Paige joined the church and her parents were, Elizabeth and Philip were so, like, disapproving and weirded out by her joining that church, which was a little culty also, that church, and they were like, whatever, we can't make her stop because we'll get the, and they joined the church with her, right? They were like, okay, let's join and like, you know, and then of course
they
had the guy
parents.
Like, yeah, and then they got him a job, they got the priest a job in like Argentina or something, but as I watched it, I thought of how Philip and Elizabeth handled this exact same situation on a very different show, of course, but like Ben should go to a meeting with Olive is what he should do. She's clearly got that boy sucked in already, right?
TJ,
class. Yeah, TJ. Ben and they handled it totally wrong. They've handled Olive wrong from this entire season has been about them mismanaging their child. Like, the reason Olive joined is because they're excluding her and making her feel left out of you know, they're like in this little club of people on the plane, people get callings, and they've excluded Olive. And we've talked about this, how she's like, can I help? They're like, no, you can't help. You're a normal American.
And meanwhile, she's
human
the smartest
loser.
One of all of them.
Yeah, she is. She's every time they ask her a question, she solves the entire calling in 1 second.
You know what this reminds me of? Remember the first couple seasons of Homeland when the daughter was stealing the show every week?
Yeah.
That's what this is like with Olive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's the best actor. She's the best actor on the whole show, I think, really, for starters. And her character is really well done. Like, Olive is a consistent character that I understand her motivations every week.
Yep.
I understand her actions every week. She really, whoever's, like, taking the lead on writing her is really, maybe has a teenager at home and is doing a really good job with her. Because I really feel sorry for her. I totally understand why they're being told, including like her brother, her twin brother,
who, you know, she remained so close to last year when he came back. And like, even Cal mm-hmm. is excluding her. And Cal, who is so intuitive and should be able to say, listen, Olive feels bad, we need to, like, be nicer to her. Cal is dropping the ball on Olive also. And I think because he's being written that way.
And that's part of the problem, too, is they didn't do that this year. I feel like, see, this is where we've talked about this before with the writing. When the writers change something, you know, when they're not consistent anymore with what they were writing. They need to change something. Mm-hmm. They need to get the point from point A to point B. And the only way for them to do that, they feel apparently, is to change something drastic in the story that was consistent before to get there.
Yeah.
So it's bad writing. You can't, I mean, last season they weren't doing this to Olive, but they needed Olive to join the church. And they need to, so how are we going to get Olive to join the church? Oh, the family will start excluding her. Something nobody did to her last season. So we're going to make a left turn and start excluding her. So they're doing something just to get to that point B that they need to get to.
Yeah.
And it hurts
the
overall show.
Yeah. I mean, I could maybe see Ben. I especially could see Grace maybe excluding her because Grace doesn't really get it, even though now she has some sort of baby calling. And I could see Ben is pretty obsessive. I could maybe see Ben and Grace, like, sort of excluding Olive in a way, especially now that they have a baby to be, like, obsessed about. But Michaela, I don't think, and Cal definitely. Cal's so intuitive about everything, and he loves his sister. And it was interesting how last year they managed to make those two remain close despite a five-year age difference, right?
Right.
A suddenly five-year, and yeah. But I get it. Like, so it's not being written well on the side of them excluding her, but it is being written well. Olive's reaction is being done very well.
Yes.
In my opinion. Like, I get
I
it. And I mean, I don't love the Believers. I don't love that guy who's the head of the Believers. He has a character.
Adrian.
Needs some fleshing out.
Yeah, his name is Adrian.
Adrian.
I was close. His name is Adrian.
Yeah, you were close.
I knew I was close.
He needs some fleshing out. The people who follow him... they actually do make, like, I was like, wait, it makes sense. Like, she's like, hello, it was a miracle. You were missing for 5 years and you came back and you didn't age. She's like, yeah, it's a legit miracle. Okay. And they're like they have no answer for that. Cause it's true. Like the guy makes sense and Olive makes sense. And I don't really,
mm-hmm.
So last year the Believers were kind of dangerous cause there were all these like freako people that were like, oh my God, you're missing.
Yeah.
And they were all like harassing them in the street. Like, none of that happens anymore. They just go to a church, and they believe that a miracle happened. And so what really – why really are they dangerous, right? Because,
well, you know,
I mean,
you know what's funny
Michaela's
is,
got this – yeah.
Thought.
Go ahead. Well, Michaela's got this idea,
that.
And she's not wrong. But within the show, Michaela's like, look, every time Adrian preaches, the Xers get angrier and more afraid. And then they lash out, right? So she feels like Michaela feels like Adrian's dangerous because he's whipping up anti 828 sentiment. But Ben has always thought Adrian was dangerous for some unknown reason that isn't really well articulated. To me.
Oh, when they're arguing with Olive and they're like, it's a cult, and I'm like, I think they wouldn't want to get themselves a dictionary. Because clearly Ben and Grace don't know what a cult is. Because it's a church, it's like any church, whether it's Catholicism, Muslim, Buddhism, whatever your case is. It's a church, just like any other church. People come and go as they please. They're not, you know, nobody's being forced to stay there. They don't live in a compound away from the rest of the world. You know what I mean? That is
right.
Not a cult.
They're not...
All right.
No, to me, a cult is very organized around like the personality of its leader, and I don't think that Adrian is running that. I don't think they're a cult of personality around Adrian at all, right?
Nope, absolutely not.
No, I mean they're no different. Are they really that different from people who believe that they see a statue of the Madonna crying and they go to that church every weekend, or people who go to like.
Exactly.
Guadalupe because they believe Our Lady appeared there or something, right? Like,
right.
They believe a miracle happened.
Yep. And they're not wrong in this case.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely a miracle that, you know.
Yeah.
That they disappeared for 5 years and came back.
Yeah.
Quick question. Speaking of the believers, the guy that got the shit beat out of him, at the end of the episode, when they were kind of doing their overlaying montage and everything, and they go to the believers, and he, and Adrian's preaching his sermon, and everybody else bows their heads in prayer and everything. And that guy, the guy that got beat up, he does bow his head in prayer at first, but then he like kind of like looks up, and he's the only one looking up, and he's kind of got this weird evil smile on his face, and it made me wonder. What's going on with that? I mean, maybe it was just
I thought
late.
He looked... No. I thought he looked super creepy at the end when he, like... He's all beaten up. Way worse than I thought he had been. He's way beaten up, and he looks up, and he's got that weird, almost like a Henry Gale kind of a smile on his face. Remember when, like, when... when Ben was still Henry Gale, and he was, like, they beat the shit out of him, and he was, like, always, like, having that creepy smile, right? That's, I mean, could he be an exer infiltrator who's trying to, like,
that's what I'm wondering.
I don't know, be in there, or could he be, or is he so, like, I didn't think he had a look of, like, devotion. He had a look of, like, he looked evil, right? He looked creepy and bad.
Yeah, definitely creepy.
They didn't show that
for
no reason.
I got confused. Yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Exactly what I was thinking. I was confused by it. I was kind of like, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's tight with Olive, which is, I guess, you know, something to worry about.
Right. And Michaela saved him.
Yeah, and Michaela saved him, yeah. And then he, like, remember how he didn't want to testify or get involved or anything? He's like, oh, I don't need to, like, you know, he wouldn't give any evidence or anything. Maybe he's an exer who's undercover. You know, again, one part that maybe strains credulity is that this would be like a big, like that it takes place in New York City. And I just, and you know, I feel like New Yorkers probably like whatever, bunch of freaks having a church downtown and it's not going to become like
You said that last, you said it the last time we called.
I feel like maybe, I mean, I'm not living in New York now, but I feel like, you know, coming from New York, as you do also, I feel like, you know, maybe that's a little, but whatever, it's, you know, it's,
I just thought of something.
Yeah.
You not being here last week, I ended the show by just quickly going over a few of my thoughts about last week's episode of Manifest. And you missed hearing me say that I thought it was one of the better episodes because I wasn't hating on Jared all episode.
What was last week's episode?
Last week he was pretty much a non-factor. He
last week
was
the safe deposit box, the bank,
Yes.
He went to the bar.
He was pretty much a non-factor last week. Yeah, he went to the bar last week, and he's pretty much a non-factor last week.
He was, but you know what? When push came to shove and Michaela was in danger, he showed up outside that bank, right? Which I think lends credence to your theory of him being undercover and not a true hater.
If he's a true Xer, then they just gone off the rails and they don't know what to do with him. If he's undercover or something along those lines, I can get on board with that. But
if he's a true
Xer,
first of all, it makes no sense because, first of all, Michaela came back and he was married to her best friend. Like this whole part where Michaela broke his heart so bad he became an Xer. Like, who broke whose heart, right? Like, in Michaela's mind, she was gone for like a day and came back and he was married for 5 years, right? His reaction makes no sense. And he was always positioned as a good cop, not a guy who would become a horrible lawbreaker.
Right.
So. Yeah. But yeah, he was almost a non-figure last week.
Yeah, maybe he'll just, I mean, I don't really like Zeke either. I don't really like either of these guys from Mikaela. You know, I'm not a shipper, but Zeke is getting, like, more and more boring. I feel like Zeke is becoming less and less interesting to me every week that he's on the show. And
yeah, you know, it's you're right. The more Zeke's around, the more boring he gets.
I feel like we're getting away from his main thing, which is that he was missing in a cave for like 8 months. And he also has a death date.
A year.
And he also, like that whole business that he's gone through the same thing is sort of like thrown away. And he's just in there now as a love interest for Mikaela. And he's on the plane every time, you know, she has this vision. But we're like, why is Sambi not studying him? Like, Sambi's all like, let me experiment on these mites. And let me try to figure out she's not studying Zeke at all. Like, well, of course, Nami's a whole different story, and looks like she's back next week.
Yeah. So Ben's calling up Save Her.
I don't think it's Olive. So I thought it was Olive.
You know, I did until Ben thought it was Olive, and then went and attacked Adrian.
The whole time that Ben thought it was the baby, I thought it was Olive, right? And
so
then once Ben thought it was Olive, I started to think, it's got to be someone we don't know. Because Mikaela's having a calling also, right?
No, Mikaela didn't have a calling
this
week.
No, she didn't have it. No. So Ben's calling could be to save Mikaela, which I don't think it is. It could be the professor's wife. It could be someone because Grace has an unresolved calling, right? Grace's calling is about the professor's wife, and that's sort of unresolved so far.
Well,
and Grace didn't have any calling this
week. Yeah, open her eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace didn't have that calling, which was interesting to me that maybe the calling, like, gave up on Grace and is now trying Ben.
I don't know. But
it could be a totally new...
Olive made sense at first, but I was thinking save Olive from the Xers, not from Adrian. The fact that Ben thinks it saved her from the Xers is what's bothering her. Adrian is what's bothering me. The calling isn't going to put him on a path against another 828er.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense.
And I mean, the way this show goes with Mikaela, with Ben, with everyone, whoever they think the calling is never who it is. They're always wrong when they first think they know what the calling is, right? And I agree with you, it's not going to be another 828er. I mean, I will be annoyed if it's a person we haven't met yet, because that's like, I don't know. I feel like for it to have gone on for a whole week next week to introduce a new person to be the calling that the calling is after, it's got to be someone. I don't know who's going to, I think you're right that it's too obvious to be Olive. And I think, so you said a couple weeks ago, AJ, that, you know, we talked about tonight how we don't really think the believers are bad, but you said a couple weeks ago that not only do you, like not only the believers not bad, but, like, Ben is totally wrong and is going to find out that the believers are actually, like, good or part of the solution. Like, Ben's going to need the believers at some point. Like, Ben's going to be so wrong and have to go crawling back to Adrian. Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I feel
now
like
this
is a big
worse.
Deflection. Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah. And you know what I think the great thing about it's going to be if you're right about that, when he does go crawling back to Adrian, Adrian's going to just welcome him back with open arms because that's what
Adrian
is. That's where he's at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be like, he's been saying your eyes need to
be
open, and he'll just be like, he's been saying like, open your eyes need to be opened. You'll see, like, he will welcome Ben. He's going to turn out to be a good guy, I think.
Yeah.
Creepy and weird, but good.
And you know what I think is funny is, you know, where they're not wrong, because every time Adrian does do a sermon or something, it does aggravate the Xers into action. You still can't put the blame on them and shut them down because of it, you know? I mean, there's lots of it throughout history, you know? I mean, are you going to shut down any church where somebody doesn't, you know, believe in Jesus, because so, you know, like, oh, this preacher gave a sermon and Jesus isn't real, so we have to beat them all up now. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, think about
or in anything else
in history,
right?
It's like,
or even like a more or like a more horrible parallel, like a synagogue is attacked in Pittsburgh last year. Like, it doesn't mean that all Jewish people stop worshiping, right?
Yeah.
They're going to keep worshiping.
No, it's not. Let's put the blame against the people that actually did this bad thing.
Yeah, you're right. It really is very disappointing that Ben feels that it's Adrian's fault, and not like the Xers need to stop and leave the 828ers alone. Like, Ben won't allow other 828 people to process it in their own way. Like, everyone's got to have Ben's like math professor attitude and believe what he believes. And he, you know, he's not like, it's apparently very helpful. I mean, there are 828ers in Adrian's church, and then there are the believers. And Ben is a very like close-minded sort of like do it my way kind of a guy in a lot of ways. You're right. He's wrong. He's totally wrong. Like, they should be allowed to have their church and do their thing. They're not doing anything wrong but having a meeting. And if the Xers, by the way, can we agree that the Xers is the dumbest name ever? It's because they paint a red X as their sign. Like, what? They have a real branding issue, the Xers. It's the dumbest name.
Anyway.
Totally dumb,
so
but
something I just realized when I imdib to see Adrian's name before, apparently the manifest is not on next week.
No, I wonder why.
Which means next week's podcast only has Doctor Who. Or maybe it is on next week. I don't. Never mind. I can't math. Never mind. I thought it was off for a week. My bad. Never mind.
No, it might be. We have a long weekend coming in 2 weeks. Maybe that's why. All right. So next week will be good. Good, because it's on next week, because when I watched it, I saw the promo at the end of it. Normally it's not on. They don't show a promo for 2 weeks from now. And the promo, did you see the promo? So Sanvi is back next week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want me to not say what happens? Is the promo a spoiler? In the promo. Oh,
I don't care. You know that.
In the promo, Sanvi is like, I don't have my mice anymore, or I don't have my lab, blah, blah, blah. I have to test this on myself. And she injects, like, her mouse serum into her own arm next week.
She's
the worst scientist ever.
No, that's
not. She's
not
the first.
Lots of scientists test shit on themselves.
Okay, well, let's start with how she made a lab in her closet with a bunch of mice she kept in the dark, even though the NSA told her, please don't do that. So that's bad science right there. I'm sorry, but anything test in your closet, I'm pretty sure can't be written up in a peer-reviewed journal. and she's going to test it on herself. That's the only thing I remember from next week, is that she's like, I have no other choice. And she like plunges it into her arm.
You know, that's been done so many friggin' times on other shows and movies and whatnot. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
That's
testing it on themselves, yeah.
That's a TV trope.
I'm not sure we'll go anywhere because we are, as I said, I happen to notice on my DVR this is episode 5 of 10 to 13 we'll get, right? At least 10. So we're only halfway through. So it's not going to be a huge climactic moment. We'll see where that goes, I guess. So, we should talk about it for a while. Anything else happened this week?
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
Did you watch Picard?
I did not. I'm planning to watch it this week. You know, I had this ridiculous trip where I went to West Africa for 3 days. But it takes 2 days on either side to get there. So, I was gone from Saturday until Thursday. And I just had some time to catch up. But have you watched it? I totally want to watch it. I don't have CBS All Access.
We've watched the first two episodes. It was it's pretty good so far. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, you know, getting rolling. You know, the first episode is actually free on Amazon on Prime. The first episode.
Oh, I'll check it out. I did read a review that said it takes the first three episodes before he like gets like basically back in space with his posse.
Well, yeah, it's,
I like what
they've done with him. It's pretty good.
Yeah. The ads look pretty good, and maybe I'll catch up on that this week and we can talk about it next week. I forgot to mention to AJ that Project Blue Book is back, and I've watched two episodes this season of Project Blue Book, which I know you don't watch, but it's very it's sort of like X-Files in 1954.
Alyssa started watching season one and then fell behind.
Well, because Aidan Gillian is the lead.
Yeah.
He played Littlefinger, and he's the main guy. And it's like the X-Files in 1954, basically, is what I would say about it. And I know Jamie watched the last season, so maybe we'll.
He just did a recent interview within the past 2 days, and he talked about a lot of different things. But one of the questions was, of course, about Game of Thrones season 8, and I guess he was very candid on how he can't stand some of the opinions on the internet. He was very vocal about how he, you know, and I agree with him. You know, I mean, some people I think go on the internet just to bash stuff, you know.
Well, yeah, some people just hate everything.
They got into the conversation about how many people hated season 8 and everything. And he's like, I think some of the best moments were in season 8. He's like, was it perfect? No.
Look,
he's like, but to go on.
Look,
you
I think
know,
it had good moments,
and
I hated
hate
it.
Stuff.
I hated season 8. I don't like that ending. I think it was not a good, maybe the first half of season 8 was good, whatever. I think it had great moments, and I also didn't like it. And did you see that George R. R. Martin gave an interview maybe a week ago where he implied that the books may not end the same way, which I think is a lie or a hedging of his bets?
I don't
maybe
think
not
it matters
outright lie. It'll never come out.
I don't think it matters because I don't think they're ever coming out. I've given up worrying about it.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree
because
it may never come out.
What's it been? I don't even know how many years it's been now since the last book was supposed to come out. Was it five or six years? It feels like.
Yeah.
I stopped worrying about it. It is what it is.
On to the next thing.
All right. We're digressing. All right.
Great.
We'll be back for next week. We'll do it again.
Yep. All right. Thanks everybody for listening.
Same fandom time, same fandom channel.
All right, bye-bye.